You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What's up?
Hey, welcome you, listener.
This is the movie show.
On your favorite and the only ORSPS.
Yes, definitely.
That you want to listen to.
Yes, I'm Sash.
My name is Ryan.
And we are going to be discussing a film that was seriously underrated. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, this film was so underrated. It's not even funny.
Yes. Can I say, when it started, I was like, like, no, not one of these. Okay, keep an open mind, Ryan. Keep an open But then, I don't know why that's the beginning. The beginning just...
Actually, Ryan, as a man, and then as a male, please tell us your thoughts on... Let's just tell them the movie first that we are discussing.
Yes.
So we are discussing a film that was made, or released rather, in 2006 called One Night with the King. It is a drama romance, and it actually is based off of a biblical story. It is the story of Esther. So it's a Bible story turned into a film, just in case you're wondering. Yes. So Ryan, what did you know when you went in? Nothing.
I knew which Bible story it was about.
Oh, so you actually knew it was about a Bible story. Okay.
Yeah. And because that happened, it was something that happened. You know, I knew that's what happened. Because that happened, the movie, there was no surprise for me.
But?
I was like, oh yeah, right. So when I watched the film, I enjoyed, you know, so yeah, there was nothing captivating for me story wise, but then I was looking at how, you know, the production, the actors. There was one actor in here that I knew, and I was like, this guy. If you guys, I don't know how many people have watched, or as currently you are watching, the Fringe series. Fringe. Yes.
Is there a guy?
There's a guy in there, the Fringe.
Who?
It's the, this guy over here.
The uncle.
This dude. Yes. This guy.
Oh, he's actually a very well-known actor. He was in Lord of the Rings.
That's
I also recognized him.
And he was also
like, I know this guy from somewhere.
In
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
We actually watched The Fringe. My wife loves watching films that has a character that's likable. Those are the new films. So like Thor, she likes, obviously, Thor. And she likes this guy in The Fringe. And The Fringe is it's very scientific. It's quite...
Is it a series or...
It's a series. Yes. And she likes it because of this guy.
John Noble.
Yeah, he plays as a father who used to work for the US government as an experimental scientist.
Mm.
Like crazy stuff, like very crazy scientific stuff. So now in The Fringe, they're solving like weird things that people are doing. And because he's been there, so he understands, but he's a bit weird. Yeah, he's a bit weird. So you can imagine with that smile. And he's Australian. I didn't even know he was Australian. So when I saw him, I was like, oh, this guy. Oh, cool. Okay, this guy. And then the other guy was obviously Luke.
Luke.
Goss, is that how you say it?
Oh yeah,
Luke Goss.
Do you know him?
I don't know him, but his face just—I was just like, okay.
Apparently, I think he's a drummer.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah, for quite an old band. But I was just interested in who he was, as well. And then there were things about the film that I was like, oh, okay, that was really, like, for example, I mean. Every actor felt very positioned, if I can put it that way. So when they were walking, they were like, you know, positioned with their hands like this, and you know, they were very like, you know, because it was like royalty, and it was all, you know, we're the king, and we're the king's palace, and we're the king's god, and we're like. And then there were some places the way that the actors acted was very good, But yeah, the sets were brilliant.
Mm.
I liked the sets. I could see where, when there was CG though. So there was already CG. There was CG in the film that I was like, oh, they use CG, you know, and it was set extensions.
Yeah.
And then I loved the way that they really dramatized the end. They did that super well. Like, it was very like,
even though you know what's going to happen, you're
exactly. And I love the way, because we all know what the king did. Like, she Esther approached the king, and then but then in this film, like, his whole attitude was different.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. That caught me off guard. I was like, wait, I know what happens, but is it going to happen? You know, type of thing. But yeah, look, it works out very well. I'm just saying, the first couple sequences, you're just like, okay, all right. It was a very good biblical story. It was a very good biblical. Just hear the message.
As in the beginning of the film.
Yeah, I'm just like, just get the message right and powerful. Man, it was so good. But then, I don't know what happened. I don't know if they shot in like linear order, and the first couple of shots were just a bit, I don't know. Like, the first shot, one or two of the first shots you see is Mordecai.
Mm.
And just the way the camera's like positioned, and even the lighting on him just looked very unnatural. And the shots and the way that the actors played out, it just felt very like, oh, okay, this could be very cheesy. But then, and then it carried on. And I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. Okay, the way they did that was really good. And then I forgot.
Yeah. You got immersed into the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the one actor I recognize, there are other actors, so like the John Noble, I did recognize his face, but I couldn't place him until I searched, and I was like, oh yeah, he was in Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
One person who immediately I was just like, yep, know him, was John Rhys Davies. I don't know if you know,
I've seen him around.
Was Gimli in Lord of the Rings. Mm. He was in Princess Diaries. He was in, there's another series That's called right. the Shannara Chronicles. He's like everywhere. So yeah. I immediately recognized him, obviously. And then apparently Peter O'Toole, he played the Prophet Samuel, like in the beginning for that quick like flashback sequence.
That's right.
He apparently is a well-known actor, and they actually even used the fact that he was in the film to almost
promote it.
Yeah, okay. But his role was very, very small. Tiffany Dupont, who played Hadassah or Esther, she actually, so how she ended up getting the role was at her church. I think the church that, I'm not entirely sure which church it is, but there was a church that, where it was birthed from, if I could put it like that.
As and in they, with this whole...
Yeah, so like where cool. they decided to... So they would be announcing it, obviously, in services. And I think they had auditions open for people to come and actually audition. And oh, she great. Was... She just attended the church and then auditioned. And she still said she wasn't even sure if she was going to get the role, because like she'd auditioned for it. Her best friend had auditioned for it. Like so many people had auditioned, and she actually ended up getting the role.
So this was like one of those films where they try to, like, everybody try to contribute. Or
yes, I think so.
They didn't, like, get professional everything. They just tried to try and see how they could make it work with a small budget type of thing.
The budget was $20 million, which is pretty good, but it is also a pretty small budget, especially for this scale of production, because they really did... I mean, if you look at, like, when they go to the battlefield, like... Do you understand what I'm saying?
And it was good.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah,
it was
good.
The costume design, I mean, that would have cost them
great.
So much. It was, and it was so good. It really was so good. So the budget was quite little. For me, I'm disappointed because they only got $13.7 million in box office, which means they didn't even make up what they spent for the film.
Yeah.
Which for me, I'm like, This was actually a good film.
And I saw that 13 million was made like on the release weekend type of thing.
Oh, so it wasn't even made after.
Yeah.
The other crazy thing about this film is that it took 3 years to get to reach theaters. They so it was filmed in 2003, but it only reached cinemas in 2006. And I think it's because they just couldn't get it into to theaters, and they obviously wanted a theatrical release. But I feel like just because this film was based on a Bible story, I feel like that's why it was underrated. Yeah. And for me, that's not fair. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's actually a part of history. It's a historical story.
It actually did happen.
And you know, when other religions or whatever go and make a film, you don't see. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like their films get. So I think this film was just. It was underrated because it was just a story about God. Like literally, that's the only reason why it was underrated. So it took 3 years to actually only reach cinemas. And then also for me, I saw this while I was actually doing research and I was slightly confused. So the film's UK DVD release was actually titled The Princess of Persia. Despite the fact that Esther was queen, they titled it Princess of Persia, and they gave it an action-orientated cover where Esther is wielding two swords.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, that's not the movie. And then I was like, oh, okay, it is the movie.
I don't remember her fighting.
No. And apparently it was in an attempt to capitalize on the unrelated film Prince of Persia, The Sand of Times, which that film, we've even done it. That was made in 2010, which was released in UK theaters 3 days earlier. So they kind of had to like pull up some, I don't know if it worked, I'm not sure if it worked, but there is a very action orientated film poster out there of Queen Esther holding two swords.
Well, that would have been disappointing,
right, for a person who and then the other thing is none of the actors are Iranian or of Jewish descent, so all of them, I must be honest, that was one thing in the film I was just like, was the accents. They didn't stay true to...
That's what made it even more...
Yeah, so like the king had a very like British accent, like...
We've spoken about this before. I think it's when we did Passion of the Christ, where I said most Christian films, like, but older Christian films, they're like, oh, proper and British. Yes. My lord, why did you... Well, and you're just like...
Mm. That's not really accurate to the timepiece. Mm. Then make it modern and put it in another country.
Although, like, a lot of their costumes that I looked at, I was like, do they really wear that? But did they really? Like, I saw the king and he wore this, like...
I do think they...
Mesh thing with these, like, golden...
Look, I do think they...
And like his palace or where, that room wherever he was, like had those
drapes.
And
I think that is accurate.
You think so?
I do think so. It was obviously like Persia and Babylon and, you know, it's all of... Yeah, I do think...
Babylon.
I think... I'd imagine they would have done research. I don't think they would have just gone into the film like just, you know, I'm sure the costume, the production designer and the whole costume and set design team would have looked into, you know, like what exactly did that day and age look like.
I guess they would have. Yeah,
because it wouldn't make sense for them to go to all that trouble when it's not even accurate.
And then there were another two characters, Tommy Lister.
He played Haggai.
Yeah. I thought he was really cool.
Yeah, he was really cool.
He was like just... And apparently he's blind in one eye.
I can imagine that. You can see it.
You could see the one eye. Yeah. If you actually see the movie roles that he's played... like
it's normally like action.
This is not quite... This is like quite a weird film for him. Because he's actually an extra... He actually died in 20...
Oh, serious?
2020.
Serious?
During the COVID...
I don't know that.
It's COVID related.
Oh, shame. That's hectic.
Yeah. And you know the actor that played Haman?
He looks nothing like he looks in the movie. He doesn't look anything like himself. When I saw a picture of him, I was like, that's not him.
I liked his acting though.
No, his acting was very good. I'd say possibly he was the best actor out of the whole cast.
Definitely.
I think he did a very, very good job. You hated it. I think this is what it goes down to, which we've spoken about before. When you watch Christian films, often the villain is saved, which means they've got that
smiling
joy of the Lord on their face, but they're being the bad person. And you're just like, it's not even relatable. Whereas with him, his whole demeanor was like evil.
Yeah,
like
you
didn't like him from the first frame you
and
saw
even,
him.
Like the voice that is pure.
Yeah.
There's the one part that I thought was really good cinematography, which I thought was really getting off the, okay, just put a camera on him and shoot him. was when he's trying to sort of rouse the people up to like go against the Jews. Like if you look at the actual shot, it was a shot taken from far and almost zoomed in on him. So you know, it was as if it was like a more third person looking at him with the smoke in front. So like stuff like that made the film more. Mm. You know, I watched it and I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah.
I must be honest. So the one thing, but this isn't the film. I can't bash the film for this. It was the time the film was made in.
I think so. Yeah.
The editing style was so early 2000s. Like if you watch the fades and the slow down, but it's not. Yeah. It's not. They didn't film it.
They
in
did
like,
that in the beginning a lot.
Yeah. So the slow down is like very jerky. Because
what did you think of the like whenever something impactful happened, the. The gut, like the editor put it like three times. Like someone comes to the door.
Yes.
I was just like okay, really? I guess it does work, kind of. I guess he really
but
liked
it. I think that was just the style of the day. Because like if you watch, so. I mean, there's Michael Bay films like that. I don't know if you remember The Island with Scarlett Johansson. That film was edited the exact same way. Like it was the early 2000s like hype and yeah, it was
off
very.
Off with his head.
And then in slow-mo, but it's like they're moving like that because they didn't film in lots of frames per second. So they
have a high frame rate camera there.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, that was... There was
a lot of natural acting. There was... Just help me out. So there was a older character that was almost like the sort of... He was with the king a lot. In fact, when John Noble's character, when he was caught out and then the king was questioning him, there was a guy like to his side that was also like, instead of saying but didn't you wada, he like crossed his arms like this, but you were the one that did it, like this. I'm like, yeah, that's the way you would do it. So there are some actors that I was like, yeah, that was good.
The acting for me, I've seen way worse.
Yeah.
Most Christmas films, acting is worse.
Right.
In fact, there's a new film that just came out on Netflix called The Perfect Pairing. The acting is way worse in that film. And that was a 2022 film.
Yeah.
Way worse than this film. So honestly, it's not
I didn't find any acting too bad.
Yeah, no, there wasn't any.
I wasn't troubled with it. It was just like what we just spoke, some of the editing was just...
Yeah, the editing was funny. But
then as the film progressed, it was like, okay.
No, it was...
I forgot about it. It's actually quite good.
And, you know, I love how they... Because they did have to fictionalize things, obviously, because there is the book and they would have... But I loved also how they, in the beginning, show you that Haman was actually a descendant of the Agites.
Was that true?
That's true.
So it is true.
Yeah, so in
I was
other
like,
words...
No wonder.
King Saul, when he disobeyed, he actually his disobedience was going to affect his own race, the Jewish race.
Wow.
He was going to cause them to be exterminated just because he didn't listen. That's actually an effect.
Wow.
That's why he got, you know, God decided you are no longer king, because his one act of disobedience caused Haman down the line.
You see,
so I loved how they fit that in.
People didn't get that. Because I also, in the beginning, I'm like, wait, that's Saul, isn't it? And that's Samuel. And that's, is that, and did she,
what?
Are they, she's pregnant? That's the guy, the boy, isn't he? Like the boy came back with vengeance.
Yeah,
he's like
a
in
lot
my mother's
of vengeance.
Wound, I knew it. It's like,
yeah, so
sure.
That was intense.
Maybe that's why, because a lot of sort of non-Christians, they sort of down, whatever, they really put this film down. Like it was like on Rotten Tomatoes, like 16% or something.
Do you know what the stupid
like
part
that.
is? Esther's the one book in the Bible that actually doesn't mention God. It doesn't mention, it's a story about God's people. Mm. And obviously it speaks about faith and trust in God, but it never says, and God, you know, in other books you'll say, and God sent whatever.
Yeah.
This book literally, so it's an relatable story for people who aren't Christians, if you think about it. Because it's half of the story is about people who didn't believe in God. I mean, King Xerxes was not a believer. He was not a Jew. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the fact that they bashed it is stupid because they don't even know. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
I could have easily... I sort of thought that to myself halfway through the film. I'm like, does this work out as a like Prince of Persia type of film? You know, because at the time... You know, the time that it took place. So this is like one of those, oh, cool, old, you know, swords and Persians and Xing Xing Xing, you know, one of those type of films. I'm like, yeah, definitely, easily.
For me, it was honestly, one thing I love about this film, though, is that they did stay true to the Bible. They didn't go off and make weird changes or do stupid things. One film I honestly hate is the film Noah. I don't like the film Noah because they took a biblical story and they literally changed it so much.
They put some other stuff in there.
It was hard. Oh, and there was that other one, Exodus, Gods and Kings. That one also I didn't like, where they depicted God as a child. Those two films, I was like, why would you take Bible stories and change them? You don't need to change them.
Didn't they in Noah, the demons were helping Noah or something? Remember, there were those demons.
And then there was that one dude that survived. And
he was on the ark. And
it was just,
because they were destroyed and they know it like was evil. I was just like.
So those two films, they took Bible stories and they didn't do it justice. Yeah. This film, they took a Bible story and they did it justice. They're doing what the Chosen series is now doing. That's what they did with this film.
I would, in fact, I was actually going to say that earlier. I feel like this is a much earlier thing of what they were doing with The Chosen.
With The Chosen, yeah.
Yeah. I would love to know. Like, if there's any listener out there that did not know the story of Esther and they watched this film, I would love to know what your thoughts were, how captivated, you know, because not knowing what was going to happen. Because especially, like I said, there at the end of the film, when Esther's about to get slaughtered by this knife. Like, I really thought, like, I knew the story, but then I was just like, wait, is this really going to...
They're going to kill her!
I love the way they dragged that out. Like, how close. Because when I read the Bible, in my imagination, like, there weren't other people there in the king's, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't... And he wasn't angry because he was still like, what was his words? Anything you ask, up to half the kingdom. But in this film, it's like people are there. They're all like, what is she doing? She still comes in. She's wet.
Wet, yeah.
I'm still like, what? Did she come wet? And she even dares to take another step forward onto the steps. I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that. You should wait for the king to come down and the scepter and all of that. Yeah. And then there was still like the earlier, you know, they met earlier. And there was like all of that. So,
but even the end scene where the king walks out. So she's told him and then he walks out. Yeah. You're just like, and then Haman starts like attacking her and you're just like.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he walks back and you're like, oh, praise the Lord.
You. And then someone grips him and.
Yeah, no, that was good because you didn't expect. You see? It. Yeah.
You see? So even if you know, I know the story of Esther.
No, the way they told it.
Just watch this. It is good.
No, it's very good.
And like I said, just. Like, maybe you might find what I found in the beginning. You're just like, maybe not. Just watch. Yeah. Just keep watching.
So the director is Michael O. Sajbel.
Yes.
And he's actually directed quite a few films.
Yeah.
So he did, in 2006, he did The Ultimate Gift. I remember that film. It was where there's a very rich man and he passes away and his whole family comes to find out like who's getting what type of thing. And there's this young dude that's just
that
like, so he did that one. And then he's actually been doing films from like the 1990s. So in 1997, he did a film called The Ride. He did a film called The Homecoming. He did, in more recent years, 2014, he did Irreplaceable. And then in 2017, it looks like a horror film. Called Wrath. I think that's... But I mean, that one looks like...
Coming of the end times, you know, prediction of COVID. I don't know.
I wonder what it's about, actually. I'd be interested to go and watch his other films.
Yeah, it's probably one of those, you know.
We should find out, Ryan.
Yeah.
Nick Minutes, he got unsaved and started doing horror movies.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I'm joking. Let's hope that's not the case.
All right, let's all pray for Michael, shall we?
For Michael. What's funny is last week we did a film about Michael Bay. And oh, by the way, maybe you're like, wait, but didn't you guys say at the end of last week's show that you were doing a film with Mark Wahlberg in it? Yeah, so what happened with that film? Did you even start watching it?
No.
So it's a film called Father Stu, right? Father S-T-U. Right? Mark Wahlberg. So I started watching the film and like, we're like, okay, he's really messed up. He's really sad. He moves to another town and then he decides, he goes, oh, he falls in love with a girl and she goes to a Catholic church. Yeah. She goes to the Catholic church.
Yes.
Which, yeah. And then, so he falls in love with her and then eventually he decides he's going to become a priest. But in order for you to be a priest, what do you have to be?
You must be not married, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he breaks the poor chick's heart, and then it was just, you know, when you're just like, this is rubbish. This is rubbish.
Spider-Man 3 again.
But it didn't even change. He was still swearing, and his life was a complete mess. And
so it was just a
job. We didn't even get to the end of the... And then he ends up getting sick, which means he now can't finish the becoming a priest. But then, and it's based on a true story. And eventually, I was just like, no. So that's why we canned that one and found a proper Christian film that's been underrated.
Yes, even better than Father Stu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a weird film.
And by the way, for any guys who do 3D out there, there's a guy called Stefan Blin. Yes, Blin is a material type. Wow. Or the Blender or CGI, like Blin, yeah. So, you know. Maybe.
What did he do? The screenplay.
It was a screenplay. Yeah.
Wow.
It's Blin.
Blin.
Sorry, that surname caught me.
Caught
Blin.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is a very underrated Christian film.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It's really good. It really, really is good. And it's a good... We don't have a lot of... Okay, there's obviously The Passion of the Christ, which is a good depiction of the Bible.
What year was Passion of the Christ?
I think it was later than this film.
Later. So you see, we're stepping it up.
I could be wrong, though.
But I mean, for 2006, this must have been a brilliant film.
It was, and technically it was made in 2003.
Where was I in 2006?
I remember watching this film in cinemas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Passion of the Christ came out in 2004.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was...
There you go.
Was actually made before The Passion of the Christ, but it came out after The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And then obviously Noah and Exodus, I'm not counting because those did not stay true to the Bible.
We watched Noah. We were just like, what?
No, man.
No.
It was just like, really? So yeah. In Exodus, Gods and Kings, they changed it so much that like God didn't have, he wasn't divine in a way. Mm. Like they took out the divinity of God.
Who did Noah? It was...
Noah was with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Exodus, Gods and Kings had Christian Bale in it. I stand to be corrected, but I think it had Christian Bale in it. But I just remember they depicted God as a child. Oh. God was a child.
Oh, really?
It was like, what? Hmm. And then at one point, Moses was upset with God for some reason. I don't know why he was upset with God, but he was upset with God at some point. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you know, we all, well, I don't know. Those demons were cool, though, I must say. Like CG-wise, yeah. Like they were, I think that was the only cool part of the film.
The rest of it was like, meh. Yeah.
It was quite creative.
But I really, I petition. Do you know there are such crazy stories in like 1 Kings and 2 Kings? Do you know the type of films those movies? Like you would have to have like, if you are a gory person, there is so many stories to be made, like,
and the Bible gives detail in these things.
Yeah,
you know.
For me, my favorite one is, you know, when the one, I think it was the king, I think it was Ahab. I stand to be corrected though, and he went into battle disguised, and then this
rings
dude just it. The Bible literally says he randomly shot an arrow and it hit the king in between his armor. But for me, I always pictured that dude that randomly shot the arrow as like the weakest link in the army. Like he got teased by everyone. He was good for nothing. He got bullied. He couldn't shoot straight. And he just happened to shoot the one arrow that went and hit King. I think it was King Ahab. And then he died. He literally... That would be such a cool story to make.
Yeah, I mean, King Saul fell on his sword. And then another guy came and he was like, please help me. And then he like helped him die.
You know? He helped him die.
I mean, it was...
It was brutal times.
David's son. What's his name? Joab. Is it Joab?
No, Absalom.
Absalom.
Amnon.
No, the one that whose hair got caught Absalom. On the tree. And then he was dangling. And he was still alive. I mean, his men were like... Let's go help him. Like, no. And then they cut off his head or something.
They stabbed him, and cut off his head.
What?
Intense times,
you
man.
You see, we can make some good films.
You see? But I honestly thought this was a good one.
Yeah.
And I do think, as a guy, you were fine with it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a... Because sometimes it would be
I was going to say that earlier. And there's a bit of a life story because, like, the king's mad with Esther. And you're like, no, don't be mad with her. Come on, man. And then at the end, I love you. And, like, he catches her in the step. And then, like,
wasn't he mad with her because he thought she was messing around?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, so there you go. And you do kind of like the king. You're like,
good guy. The king was cool.
And he's heartbroken, man.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, kill the Jews, because he was just heartbroken. It's not because he had nothing against the Jews.
Haman was just using his moral of the story is don't be heartbroken. Yeah.
When you're heartbroken, you just die. Stupid die. Everyone, just die.
That's why we have chocolate nowadays. Unfortunately, ice they didn't cream. Have chocolate in those days. Chocolate is the perfect.
Yeah. So tonight I'm gonna go. I'm busy watching the Fringe series. So I'm going to carry on watching it.
I've given up hope on series. I'm back to
the Fringe is good, eh?
Is it good?
Yeah, there's no like funny stuff in it.
No, but the you know what my problem is with series? They drag the story out unnecessarily because they need screen time and it irritates me.
Yeah, true.
Sherlock Holmes didn't do that. Stranger Things doesn't do that. Yeah, I can't really say anything else for the other series. I've stopped watching like three series.
My wife started watching something over the weekend. And she's like, okay, this looks good. Then some swear, and she's like, seriously? Exit. Is there anything out there?
It's like, series are the worst because nudity, the whole bisexual, transsexual, this sexual, that sexual immediately comes out. Mm. And then, I mean, do you know, I started watching a series, right? One of the actors in the series is a Christian. As in, he posts on Instagram about worship music, about reading the Bible. They ask him what he's reading in the Bible. He tells them. In this series, right? So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, he's a Christian. Cool, let's watch the series. He's bi. He kisses a guy in the series.
What is his excuse? Oh, that's my little brother, man. That's my brother. Or was it a passionate...
As in he's bisexual. Bleh. I'm like, you're the Christian. You are... Do you not see what they got you to do? They made you do that. I was just like, ready? Okay, cool. So now we can't even trust Christian actors because, you know...
What was your conviction, dude? Were you convicted? Was there anything afterwards that
made you
feel... You
were reading Corinthians. Hello, go read Corinthians. What's wrong with you, man? You didn't read it properly. Go read it again.
Lord, use me, please.
That wasn't the Lord, man.
I was trying to use you.
And you know they pay more if you like...
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, if you're not gay or bisexual or whatever, and you do a scene where you kiss a male or... Yeah. They'll pay you extra.
No. Okay, so that's another topic for another week.
Yep.
What do you do if...
You don't take the role.
Yeah. I think I'm going to start another show like that on Active FM. What to do if... And then
what to do
if... And then every week we discuss the topic. What to do if... What to do if you lost your cell phone and you got 20 seconds... Okay.
That's intense. Yeah, but for the movie show...
I won't be doing that. I'm just joking. I'm just saying...
Yeah, this has been a very underrated Christian film. Good Christian film. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
Yeah.
It's good.
And look out for Stefan Blin. Stefan, right? Because Stephen would be S-T-E-V.
Or Stefan?
Yeah, Stefan. That's it.
Stefan
Blin. That's him. Look for him. I'm showing him on screen right now for those movie show podcast on YouTube viewers. And by the way, if you're listening, go check out our on Active TV. Go to the playlist. Go look for the movie show podcast. There is a visual version of the show. And for those who are watching the visual version show, good for you. Give us a like and subscribe.
Comment down below.
Yes, and hit a comment. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So this has been the movie show.
On Active FM.
Peace.
Till next week.
Radio has never been better.
Radio has never been better.
Active FM Plus music is hot music.
Active FM radio has never been better.
Christ music is hot music.
The radio has never been better.
Hello, yes, what it is, you're on Active FM, baby. Radio has never been better.
Christ music is hot music.